This is Brother Gino. I wanted to thank each and every one of you for joining me for the pastor's study. I hope that all is well for each and every one of you. I consider it a blessing and a privilege to be with you today. I give God all the glory and all the praise. We've been doing a study on the book of 1 Corinthians. And last time we were together, we started chapter number 14 of 1 Corinthians. Amen. And that old chapter has to do with understanding tongues. Amen. And we began to look at that. Amen. And we saw that tongues is a very often misunderstood doctrine. So all we're concerned with anything that we do, is what saith the Scripture? What does the Word of God say? That is our final authority, not only on speaking on tongues, but in everything else, for that matter. Amen. God has blessed us with His Word. Amen. He tells us how to live, what we need to do to be right with Him, how to deal with problems with our lives, amen, and tribulation and persecutions and so forth and so on. So you and I, as believers, are truly blessed to have God's preserved, inspired, infallible, inerrant word in the King James Bible, number one, and to have the indwelling Holy Spirit in us, amen. Last time we looked at verses 1 through 5, of 1 Corinthians 14. And we saw that Paul said that prophecy is preferred to tongues. Prophecy is preferred to tongues. We're going to pick up and we're going to look at verses 6 through 11 of 1 Corinthians 14. And let's read the Word of God together. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Beginning in verse 6 down to verse 11, the words of God say this. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine, and even things without life, giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. So now we want to see what's being discussed in this passage is the problems with speaking with tongues. We see in verse 6, what we're being told there is tongues are unprofitable to the congregation. And then Paul tells us what profits them. What profits them is, first of all, revelation. Revelation. Speaking from the Bible what's revealed by the Holy Spirit. Revelation. First, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So what profits a congregation? Revelation. Speaking from the Bible, what's revealed by the Holy Spirit. Then also, what profits a congregation is knowledge. Knowledge, Paul says. Knowledge, speaking what the Bible says, like quoting Scripture. Proverbs, let's look at Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 12. The Word of God says, apply thine heart unto instructions, in thine ears to the words of knowledge. Amen. So then we see that knowledge profits the congregation. Again, knowledge is speaking what the Bible says, like quoting Scripture. And then the next thing that profits congregation, Paul tells the Corinthians, is prophesying. Prophesying. In other words, preaching the words of God. Right there in the 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 24 and 25, the Word of God says, but if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. So again, prophesying profits a congregation. And prophesying is simply preaching the words of God. And then also Paul mentions another thing that's profits a congregation, and that's doctrine. Doctrine. Teaching the words of God. Teaching the words of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. The Word of God says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So doctrine is another thing that's profitable for the congregation, which is simply teaching the words of God. Now, in verses 7 and 8, what we see here, Paul tells us that tongues are indistinct and uncertain. Tongues are indistinct and uncertain. They are not clear, unmistakable, and specific. He goes on and he tells us that pipes and harps, on the other hand, give very distinct sounds, so that you know precisely what's played. And further he tells them, trumpets used in a battle blow certain sounds or various calls, for example, reveille, assembly, charge, retreat, taps, and so forth. So we see in verses 7 to 8, in 1 Corinthians 14, that tongues are indistinct and uncertain. Then further Paul goes on, as we just read in verses 9 through 11 of 1 Corinthians 14, tongues are not easy to understand. Tongues are not easy to understand. You don't know what they're speaking. They're just speaking into the air. There are many voices, and yet they all have signification. Meaning, see verse 11 with me, if you would, of 1 Corinthians 14. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. So there are many voices, yet they all have signification, meaning the meaning of the voice. If I don't know what they mean, Paul says, then we are like barbarians. In other words, people from an alien land. In other words, what he is saying means something, but it doesn't mean anything to me. Amen. So here we see, you know, unfortunately, there are many folks today that put this emphasis on the speaking with tongues. And again, their speaking in tongues is not, a tongue is a known language. It may be unknown to the person speaking it, but it's still a known language. And what these people that claims that tongues are still here is gibberish. No one can understand it. Amen. It's not of the Holy Spirit. If it's not of the Holy Spirit, you know what spirit it is of. Amen. Now, as we continue on, in verses 12 to 20 of 1 Corinthians 14, Paul talks about the need for understanding. The need for understanding. Let's look at verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 14. Even so, ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. So while the Corinthians were zealous of spiritual gifts, Paul encouraged them rather to seek to excel to the edifying of the church. To do that, they would have to, first of all, interpret what they say in an unknown tongue so others can understand. Look at in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 14. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. And then pray and sing so that others can understand what they are saying and singing. Amen. So in order to edify the church, these are the things that have to do. Pray and sing so that others can understand what they are saying and singing. Verses 14 through 15. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So what Paul is saying, if they can't be understood, their understanding is unfruitful to the hearers. And with the Spirit is not the Holy Spirit, but rather the man's spirit. Amen. Then, as we're looking at things, as Paul tells them, he encourages them to seek to excel to the edifying of the church. He tells them that they have to give thanks so that others can understand why they are blessing God. You see, others can't say amen if they can't understand them. Look at verses 16 and 17 of 1 Corinthians 14. The Word of God says, else, amen, else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandest not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. Amen. So, in order to edify the church, we have to, he encourages them to give thanks so that others can understand why they are blessing God, and others can say, in other words, others can't say amen to what they're saying if they don't understand them in the first place. Then further, Paul says another thing they have to do to edify, to the edifying of the church, is speak so that others can understand what they are saying. Paul said that he could out-talk anybody in Corinth with tongues, but that he would rather speak five words that others could understand than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 18 to 19. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Amen. And then in verse 20, Paul tells them another thing they have to do to edify the congregation is start talking and acting like grown men rather than children. Children learning to speak often speak gibberish, don't make sense, and can't be understood. Verse 20, notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 14. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but understanding be men. So then we see here in verses 12 to 20 of 1 Corinthians 14, Paul tells them about the need for understanding. Amen. While the Corinthians were zealous of spiritual gifts, Paul encouraged them rather to seek to excel the edifying of the church. Amen. Now, as we move along in our chapter 14 here, we want to see in verses 21 to 22, we're told that tongues are for a sign. Tongues are for a sign. Now, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 21 to 22. The Word of God says, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. Yet, for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Now, Paul quoted Isaiah 20, chapter 28, verses 11 to 2. Let's go to Isaiah 28, 11 to 2. The Word of God says, stammering lips and an under tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing, yet they would hear not. So Paul quoted Isaiah chapter 8, verses 11 and 12, to show the Corinthians that Israel didn't hear God when he spoke to them through men of other tongues. Amen. And people weren't going to start listening to them as they were speaking with other tongues. Tongues are a sign to unbelieving Jews. For the Jews require a sign to believe the Lord. We saw that earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. Prophesying, on the other hand, serves believers. Amen. Now, as we continue on in our chapter of 1 Corinthians 14, in verses 23 to 25, what we have here is tongues versus prophecy. Tongues versus prophecy. Amen. Now, in verses 23 to 25, let's go there. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 23 to 25, the Word of God says, "If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth." So, to the unlearned and unbelievers, seeing the whole church talking in tongues would say they are mad. But the unlearned and unbelievers, under the preaching of the Word of God, would be convinced. The secrets of their hearts would be manifest. They would worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Truly, churches in modern tongues movement are a madhouse. Amen to that. Now, in verse 26, in verse chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, we have the showing off of spiritual gifts. Notice what the words of God have to say here in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 14. "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying." So in Corinth, everybody wanted to speak and show his stuff, whether it was a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation, or an interpretation. And therefore, the church wasn't being edified. So Paul said, let all things be done unto edifying. So he set up the next thing we're going to look at. He sets up rules set forth for tongues. Amen. In verses 27 to 28. Of 1 Corinthians 14. We're going to see Paul sets forth rules for tongues. Look at verses 27 and 28 of 1 Corinthians 14. "If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God." So, first of all, the first rule is men only speak in tongues. Amen. Men only. Notice verse 27. "If any man speak in an unknown tongue." And then if we go down to verse 34, it says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it's not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. So, men only to speak in tongues, it says, any man, and let your women keep silence in the church. In the context, is not that women can't speak in the church, women can't speak in tongues in the church. And then another rule he sets up, not more than three at a service. In verse 27, he says, by two, or at the most, by three. Amen. And then he sets up another rule for tongues, one at a time, when he says in verse 27, by course. And then the next rule is, if no interpreter, keep quiet. Verse 28, he says, if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. Amen. So we see here, amen, there are rules for speaking in tongues that Paul gives the Corinthians, men only. Well, in the modern tongue movement, everybody speaks in tongue, amen. But that's not the way it is in the Word of God. And again, tongues are not for today. They were a sign gift to establish the church because the Jews required a sign, and they were for unbelieving Jews to believe the Word of God. Now, as we continue, Paul sets forth rules for prophesying in verses 29 to 33. Let's read those verses. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye all may prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Here again, he sets up rules for prophesying. No more than three prophesying at a service. In verse 29, prophets speak, he says, two or three. And then another rule he sets up for prophesying, other prophets judge. Verse 29, he says, let the other judge. In other words, the truth of what's being preached. And then in verse 30 to 31, one at a time is led. He says, first, hold his peace, one by one, so that all can be taught and comforted. We're going to stop there for today on this chapter 14 on the discussion of tongues. And I hope as we go through this chapter that it will clear up a lot of things for you and put things in perspective. And you can clearly see and know and understand what the Bible has to say about speaking in tongues. Amen. We don't care about anyone else, what they say. What does the Bible say? Till we meet again, may God richly bless you, is my prayer, and good day.